Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
It's time for 5 on. Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris with Mark Grumman bring you 5 topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Get to do it live and in front of an audience as we are broadcasting from, as you just heard, the Old Crow in Wrigleyville. Come out now. Register for your chance to win a pair of tickets to Game 1 of the NL Wild Card Series this Tuesday. If it's at Wrigley Field,
it better be at Wrigley.
It best be. We have sent out warnings. Layla has been yelling at people as they walk down the street.
Standing across the street. Make the Cubs win today.
Don't make us come out there. That's right. We're giving away Cubs playoff tickets to Game 1 of the Wild Card Series, courtesy of Budweiser. We are going to be here broadcasting live, Rahimi Harris and Grody, up until 6 o'clock tonight. The drawings that we'll be doing will be here at 4:30. Actually, we did one of those, right?
Yes.
5:30.
Steve won.
Steve won. Congratulations.
People do win.
It's great. We guarantee winners here because guess what? We're winners. 6 o'clock, there will be another drawing. Here's the deal. You must be present to win. Again, it is all brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you.
Number one.
All right, here we go. 5 on it. Question number one. After hearing the latest from Cubs manager Craig Counsell on Cade Horton, how do you think it will affect the Cubs' playoff rotation?
Well, that's the rub. That's what we're trying to figure out right now because we got a timetable at least as to when they want to have him throw, so that's good. We know that is going to happen. Now we've deduced on Team Rahimi, Harris, and Grody that it's come down to what we think is a pain tolerance issue. So because of that, Craig Counsell saying that there's a concern in the rib area when it comes to the MRI that he had, that's what it sounds like. But until you know what day that man is throwing a ball in a game setting, there's still something to be concerned about here. Trying to figure out the playoff rotation is something that we've been talking about for a while. It's going to continue to happen. But until we have a day yet, or at least understand who's playing where, I think this is something that is... It will absolutely affect the Cubs' playoff rotation moving forward.
I think he's still your guy if he is good enough to throw and pitch and is deemed ready to go. He's the guy who should pitch game one. That's what my stance is on it right now. Now, obviously, after he throws tomorrow, we'll ask this question again and try to figure it out. But as of now, it should be Cade Horton, and then you can pick your other two guys out of the bank of Shota Imanaga, out of Jameson Taillon, and of course Matthew Boyd. You can figure that out. And you thought you had your four guys if they get past the wild card, but now with Cade Horton maybe in question, maybe it's a Javier Assai could be the fourth guy. Who knows?
If the injury that he has and is believed to be a rib injury is not affecting his pitches, his velocity, number one, the shape of his pitches, if his pitches are not affected by it, then I am definitely comfortable with him going out there with some discomfort as your number one guy. What I would ask is, can we get more of what we saw from Matt Boyd last night? Can we get more of that 5-plus innings, 2 runs and 2 hits? Jameson Taillon, who was on the losing end of the 1-0 loss, one of the 1-0 losses to the Reds. What a horrible series that was. Can you get more of that 7 innings and 1 run out of him if you have to implement him into it? Shota Imanaga, who starts tonight, can we, as we said earlier, can we keep the gopher balls down just a little bit and maybe tonight
he'll follow up in that same sort of line that Matthew Boyd and Jameson Taillon have been doing, just to give that little bit of encouragement and feels like from the first half of the season. Can we get some of that? So I still think Cade Horton, but I'm also getting more and more comfortable with the rest of the staff that has not been as good as they were in the first half.
Number two.
Last week, Cowboys tight end Jake Ferguson had 13 catches on 14 targets for 82 yards against the Bears. Are you going over or under that catch total for reigning first-team All-Pro Raiders tight end Brock Bowers this weekend?
I would love to say that Dennis Allen has something special cooked up, but since he's missing a few of his key ingredients, I think it's going to be more of the same, what you saw with the shell game, the too high, like the way that he has to play based on the personnel that's available to him. I expected to be a whole lot of, what'd y'all call it? Check down Charlie? Down Chuck?
Technically, it was Olin. Okay. Olin on the post.
Layla's a big fan of Check Down Charlie because he tries hard. He puts in an honest day's work every day. He's a 9-to-5er.
Hustle plays.
Maximum effort.
I'm glad you brought up maximum effort, because if they have maximum effort, they'll be okay with Brock Bowers catching 20 balls and those balls don't get first downs. That's what they did with Jake Ferguson. He would catch a ball on third down, but he was well short of the sticks. That is the goal, is to keep it all in front of you. As long as Geno Smith is not beating you over the top, you're doing a good job. That's what they're really – I mean, you see who's available to them. That's their best chance here.
I also think that part of that was because CeeDee Lamb went down in that game. And so George Pickens had trouble with drops, as we saw too, and I think part of that is the Bears' defense. Like, credit the Bears' defense for doing so. Tyreek Stevenson put everybody on notice when he was like, give me that ball. That's how it went. If you're watching on Twitch, I just reached at Marshall for no reason. But that, I think that kind of let everybody know what the Bears were trying to do in that game, and it worked. So Check Down Charlie, a.k.a. Jake Ferguson, became the guy.
Yeah.
You could say that Jake was a bit of insurance in the state of Illinois for the Cowboys. Terrible. I make terrible jokes. He wears khakis.
Yeah.
Sounds hideous. Brock Bowers, by the way, last week in the Raiders 41-24 loss to the Commanders, had only 4 receptions for 38 yards. He had 5 targets. So keep that in mind. Could that change because the underneath is available, as you mentioned, for the Bears?
What was the over under number? What was it?
It's 13 catches.
13. So I will take the under, but hesitantly, man, hesitantly. And again, I do this probably too much, but I've seen a lot, you know. And I think back to the Bears' luck, the way that they have played against highly skilled tight ends over the last couple of years, with the big one being George Kittle, who they just didn't cover. And I know that's a different. Was Flus? No, Flus was
George
gone?
Kittle was partially healthy.
I think Flus was gone. That goes on Eric Washington. Eric Washington was the defensive coordinator at that moment, who was not doing a good job of having anybody cover George Kittle. So there's just something about those guys. So I don't know how much damage he's going to do, but of all their weapons, man, like Ashton Gentry has not been doing much. Jacoby Myers has not been great so far. Trey Tucker, the wide receiver, did have a 100-yard game last week. Honestly, man, I'm more worried about Brock Bowers than just about anybody at
this
point.
Yeah, that's the point. He's going to be over on that.
Yeah, I got him on the plus.
Tucker had 145 yards.
Which was a career high, I believe, for Trey Tucker. Yes. And Bears.
Number three.
This is 5 on It on 670. The Score. We're broadcasting live from Old Crow in Wrigleyville. Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody are all in the house. Come out and register to win a pair of tickets to Game 1 of the NL Wildcard Series this Tuesday if it's at Wrigley Field. We are giving away our final pair of tickets at 6. Get over here to Old Crow and register right here by our table.
That's you.
All right, so our third question for 5 on It. It's Bears.
Bears?
Are we currently watching Roma Dunze become a star?
I think we are. I think that's what we're seeing. And to quote Matt Eberflus in the draft, didn't he say it was just like they planned? Wasn't that the plan the whole time?
Absolutely.
The plan came together in a way, what we're seeing. That certainly feels like it's the case. Caleb Williams wants to make, I think, those Michael Penix connections happen, like what we saw in Washington, where Penix would throw it up and only Rome could get it, and then it was traffic, and it's dramatic, and the next thing you know, Rome has the ball, and everybody's going crazy.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, your head coach is going to Alabama. Okay, maybe that part is a little bit different. But in this case, I think that is kind of the vibe when it comes to the Caleb and Rome connection. They got here together. They were both drafted in the same top 10 in the draft, and, well, yes, the Bears' needs might have been a little bit different than what we previously saw. That doesn't take away from what those two are doing on the field. I think that is intentional. I think it is communicated. That's not to take away from anybody else like DJ Moore. I just feel like that is that's his person right now. That is Caleb's human that he is checking down to or like trying to find
that's
a lot
deep.
Of the time.
That's deep. I don't think I'm ready to say he's going to be a star. I do think I'm ready to say it's very possible that Rome Odunze will break Bears wide receiving records. And I'm not even sure if it's going to be this year, but I do think he's in it for the long haul.
In a career?
You know, exactly. I do think he's going to pass up, you know, Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey and my guy Allen Robinson. And dare I have to go all the way back to Johnny Morris back in the day. Like, we've heard way – and I love Johnny Morris. Great Bear, great broadcaster on CBS2 back in the day. But even Johnny Morris is probably sitting there listening going, I don't really want to hear about me having these records either. So I do think relative to the Bears, he's going to, like, be one of the best in their system over the next few years. I'm not quite ready to say star yet for Rome Odunze.
Okay, well, we're making predictions here, so I understand why you don't want to call him a star just yet, but he is well on his way. If you just look at what he did last year in a trying rookie season for everybody, if you're talking about him, Caleb,
yeah.
anybody else
uh-huh.
that was on the team last year,
uh-huh.
and to understand that right now he already has a third of the first downs that he had last year. He's already got 12 through three games. It means four times a game he's getting a first down. He's also already leading the league, tied for the league with four touchdowns. He is the money man. He's the guy Caleb is going to. And if you want more on this particular question, just see me in a couple of questions.
Okay.
Whoa.
All right.
Number four.
On Wednesday, CNBC reported that the Bears are now valued at $8.9 billion after the NFL approved the sale of a minority stake in the team. Are you shocked the Bears are worth this much?
No, I am not shocked to hear that at all when it comes to, you know, a big market Chicago team, charter franchise that everybody pays into in this town one way or another, that an NFL team would be worth $8.9 billion. It's a massive number that we can't even start to begin to think about and wrap our arms around. But no, I was not surprised to hear that the Bears were worth $8.9 billion.
I think for me, I would be more shocked if, like, the next day Robert Kraft didn't sell a slice of his team off and they had a $9 billion valuation. So now I'm like, oh, I guess that's just the going rate for a big market NFL team these days. Soon it will be $10 billion standard. You see a team like Jacksonville, Shai Khan's going to sell the team and it'll be like $15 billion.
The Cowboys.
Well, the Cowboys are worth more than all the teams.
$15 billion now?
The Cowboys are worth more because of real estate. Like, that's part of this, too, is the real estate comes into play.
And understanding what they're developing right now, Arlington Heights, I know shovels will be in the ground soon, right?
Yeah.
Because that's the plan,
that's
right?
The plan, right?
It's still the plan this year, right?
Yeah, I think.
I understand the next time.
I've lost track of the plot. Yeah.
That we talk about valuation might be next year sometime, I expect them to go up by maybe 20% even in that time because of the development of a new stadium and everything else. But nothing surprises me more when you see what NFL teams are doing, when you see what the league is doing right now in terms of getting a piece of everybody's pie. Oh, you want some of us? Well, we want some of you back, and we want equity.
I want to add to that, too. It's not just the NFL. It is sports. This was something that I talked about, I think, a couple years ago. On the midday show was Forbes' valuation, which is the closest thing we have to understanding outside of when an actual share will determine worth and somebody has a transaction, which is what we saw with the Bears. Outside of that, you have Forbes. And Forbes estimated that every team that's professional, because of gambling, their value is going to go up 20 to 30% within a five-year span of that news coming out. And that was years ago. And it's bigger than what we even realized. The TV deals are bigger. That was a conservative estimate, in my opinion. and you're seeing it happen now. You're seeing it happen down the street at Clark and Addison, and I want to be very clear about that as well. So when you consider all of that, it's not just the money and the real estate that comes into play. Like I mentioned, Cowboys Stadium at the time considered shocking when they constructed it being $1 billion. Now we just know that's par for the course. But because the public paid for theirs, they're worth even more than that. The Bears are going to be a little bit different because a lot of their money is going into it. But either way, you get to borrow a lot more when your team is worth that much. And I'm not shocked when I consider that Forbes is also saying the Cowboys are valued somewhere between 12.5 and 13 billion.
Yeah.
This is
what are the Giants?
This is the way of the world now. Absolutely. But it at least lets you know the league you're playing in. Now, the NFL has a salary cap, so that evens the playing field for everybody. The real question is, how much are the teams worth that don't have a salary cap, and what are they doing?
Number five.
This is 5 on it on 670 The Score. And here's our final question. Are you on board with Marshall's season-long Bears parlay? Here we go.
Here we go.
Caleb Williams, 4,000-plus regular season passing yards. Caleb Williams, throw 30-plus regular season passing touchdowns. DJ Moore, 6-plus regular season receiving touchdowns. Roma Dunze, 10-plus regular season receiving touchdowns. Colston Loveland, 750-plus regular season receiving yards. And Roma Dunze, 1,000-plus regular season receiving yards. And if you're not cool with any of the legs in this parlay, which ones are they? Call them out.
First of all, this is an impressive parlay because a $10 wager will pay out somewhere around the neighborhood of $1,978 if it hits.
Yes.
When you talk about going for value, this is your jam.
This is what I do. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at it, and I'll walk you through it. Caleb Williams, 4,000 yards. That's 235 yards a game. You guys down with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
seems
good.
Reasonable.
Caleb Williams.
Check.
Okay, yes. Caleb Williams, 30 touchdown passes. That's less than 2 touchdown passes a game. Do we want to talk about how many passes he already has?
4 in a game did help.
Yeah.
So you're not so sure about the 30 touchdowns?
I'm struggling a little bit, man. He had a 4-touchdown game in Jacksonville last year. I know that you dismissed that game as nothing.
It's Ben Johnson running this show.
I'm just saying, man. Give me a second to think about that. Like, 30 touchdowns. Okay. I'll stick with just for the sake of keeping the – are you plus 30 on the touchdowns?
I think it's reasonable. I just worry about the schedule being as monstrous as it is.
On the back end, when there supposedly will be a better team?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That
man.
Was me giving Marshall the claw.
When he throws for 2 touchdowns this week or 3 touchdowns this week, I think you'll be on board.
Okay.
They play the Cowboys every week.
But they can play the Raiders the next week.
Fair enough.
DJ Moore, 6 touchdown receptions.
Yes.
That one might be tricky, as crazy as that sounds.
1 down, 5 to go is what I say.
Because of how much they get the tight ends involved at the and what we've seen for touchdowns.
No, you're right. And you know, I mean, DJ played a big part in this previous game, but he didn't touch a ball until the third quarter.
Roma Dunze, 10 regular season touchdowns receiving. He's got 4 already.
These are a lot of touchdowns to a lot of people.
Yeah. That's why he's throwing 30. Right, he's got to throw to people.
Layla, let's take a moment here, you and I can here. Ben Johnson, the idea is to spread the ball around, right? He wants to spread the ball around to lots of different people. So it is difficult when you look at 10 touchdowns for Roma Dunze.
As a longtime Bears observer, this seems like a lot of plays to run and then drives to have and then drives to score
are
on.
We stuck?
And then people to catch the ball in the end zone.
There's a lot of moving parts.
Do
here.
You believe in Ben Johnson?
Dead?
Is the parlay dead now?
No.
Did it just
what?
Die?
Let's keep it going. Okay. Keep it going. Okay. Let's go through. We got an item by item list here.
This one is controversial, this next one.
Colston Loveland, 750 yards receiving.
Oh,
that's a big number, right?
That probably was the one that really made the money in your.
Of course it did. It was plus 1,800 on its own.
That's tough, man. I mean,
I can't hang with you on that one.
I can't either because there's just going to be games where Colston Loveland's going to go away. He's a rookie. He already has gone away.
We don't even know if he's going to be out there Sunday.
And then Roma Dunze, 1,000 yards receiving. You're on board
with
that.
Yes,
for the career?
It'd be silly not to be on board with
that. That's always my favorite.
If he doesn't have 1,000 yards, that's a disappointing season.
You know who else is on board, I think, with your Rome part of the parlay? Is Sam Paniatovich, Sammy P from BetMGM. He loves Rome, so I feel like he also thinks that for the value, that was a good call.
And he's out on DJ, too.
I just want to let you know, I did a separate parlay just it's my safety.
Oh, man.
It's just the Caleb touchdowns. It's just the Rome 1,000-yard season. It's just the Rome 10 touchdowns.
Is That's Marshall all. Out of control? Does Marshall need to call 1-800-GAMBLE?
Marshall
are you eating
and FanDuel are killing
are you eating
it right
free
now.
Lunch tomorrow?
No, that's a great point. I'll
okay,
shut up.
Thank you.
Yeah, Marshall sends us a text during the game
so
yesterday,
nice.
And he's like, I got this parlay on FanDuel. Should I cash out? It was like $43, or should I let it ride? And I'm like, no, don't cash out. What's the fun in that?
I'm the dummy.
And
who
it was $143 on the
$40 on
that's
the Bears to beat the Lions when they were down 14-7.
And I don't even need to. I just need you to feel the victory of victory. I said it.
The victory of victory.
So that is it for Five on It.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.